So for this morning's message, I want to, if you'd like, want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, in the second chapter. And the message this morning is going to be based upon the first five verses, which I'm going to read now, and you can follow along. Paul is telling the church in Philippi this: If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. So with that, I've got some remarkable information that I'm sure you've never heard or never realized before. And that is simply that people are people, and people sometimes have problems with other people. I know it's a hard concept to understand, but that's how it is. And the Apostle Paul also had problems with people. And if we were to go back to the first chapter of Philippians, which we're not going to do, but take my word for it, Paul received some good news about the church that he had started in Philippi. Now, we need to also remember that as Paul wrote the epistle of Philippians, he was in jail. He was in Rome and he was in jail. So just keep that in mind, because this was the environment, this was his setting as he was writing back to some of the churches that he had started. Paul had received some good news about the church in Philippi, but he also learned of possible divisions within the church as well. As if that ever happens, right? And we like to talk about church unity. Now, Paul was familiar with what many in some churches of today don't know, and that is the difference between unity and conformity. Unity and conformity. True spiritual unity comes from within. It's a matter of the heart. Conformity, on the other hand, is the result of pressure or influence from without. So as we looked at our text this morning in Philippians chapter 2, Paul opens with an appeal to the highest spiritual motives. He says in the first two verses, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill me my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, since Paul considered the church in Philippi to be in Christ, as we believe ourselves to be also, this should have encouraged the Philippian church to work toward unity and love, not division and rivalry. And by the way, it should encourage us to work toward unity and love also. Personal agendas, egos, pettiness are to be abandoned as all three work against unity and love. And Paul goes on to say in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, in the modern vernacular, what Paul was essentially saying to this church in Philippi is this: you need to get over yourselves. Your murmurings and your veiled discontent reveal that there's a spiritual problem in your fellowship. And this problem will not be solved by digging in your heels, but solved rather when your hearts are right with Christ and with each other. Paul wanted them to see that, and he wanted them to understand that the underlying cause of their problem was selfishness. And the cause of that selfishness was pride. Pride is always at the bottom of things. It's the reason Cain killed his brother. And there can be no real joy in the life of any Christian that put their self-esteem and their self-will above others for the collective good of the church. The key verse here is, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better, or more important, than themselves. So what's Paul talking about here? What's he talking about? He's talking about being humble. A long time ago, there was this song. It was kind of a novelty song. I think it played on some of the country and western stations. I forget who it was. It doesn't make any difference. But the catch line was, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And it's also difficult to be humble when there's a tendency to insist on imposing self-will, personal opinions, and agendas upon others. This behavior, we know it, we see it in the workplace, we certainly see it in politics, do we ever? And unfortunately, we see it in some churches, because people are people. We all have this evilness in our heart that sometimes is really hard for us, despite our best efforts, to keep sequestered. Every now and then, we have to somehow assert ourselves in some way, and it doesn't always produce a good outcome. So, in verse 4, Paul says, look not every man upon his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So the thought here is to avoid, or try to avoid, our natural tendency to be self-serving. Children, this is one of the things children have to be taught, because what's a child's natural instinct? You know, it's mine. They have to be taught to share. They have to be taught so many different things. So instead of turning our eyes away from our own preferences and to be focused instead upon what's more important, and that should be the welfare and preservation of the entire church body. And this requires a degree of submissiveness. But this is key too. This submissiveness does not require anybody to become doormats for others to use. some attempts to maintain church unity by giving in to others' whims, wishes, and dictates, simply, as the expression goes, to go along to get along. This is not what Paul is suggesting at all. That's not unity. It's conformity. Again, unity versus conformity. And if we are to expect or experience the benefit of God's compassion to ourselves, we need to be compassionate towards one another. Jesus Christ came to this earth as a humble servant. So therefore, knowing this, and not one of us should there be a spirit of pride or self-righteousness. We are to be observant of our own faults, our own defects, because we certainly all have them, fully aware that no one is righteous, most of all, each one of us, most of all me, and thus be always ready to make favorable allowances for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in the last verse that we're going to cover this morning, verse 5, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, the mind of Christ refers to the attitude that Jesus displayed when he was with us for all to see. In other words, our attitude should mirror that of Jesus Christ. Our outlook determines our outcome. And if our outlook is self-serving, our actions are sure to be divisive and destructive. It's the reason many churches struggle to survive, and some ultimately unable to overcome the slow decline that comes about as the result of that internal strife and vainglory. And in contrast, though, vibrant churches, however how small they are, look after the interests of others, as Paul is urging the church in Philippi to do. Churches that struggle ultimately become focused on self-preservation. They also become dedicated in doing church the way that church was always done. And the congregation may become complacent, satisfied that for the time being that only the bare minimums for a Sunday worship service be met. And with this complacency comes little or no enthusiasm, desire, or ambition for community outreach. And therefore, stagnation sets in. And then when that happens, from the perspective of someone who might be looking for a church to come join, from their perspective, or to the casual outsider, those churches appear to offer nothing that would attract their visitation. But here's the thing. God definitely calls his church to look and act outwardly. God wants his church to have a clear purpose. And here in Philippians, Paul is encouraging that church to live the gospel and to proclaim the gospel. And their purpose was to be totally and completely outwardly gospel-centered. And so, this morning, there's a few things that we as a church might want to evaluate to see where we're currently situated in that. We should follow the same encouragement Paul gave to the Philippian church, to be focused on being gospel-centered also. Always looking outwardly instead of looking inward. For when we look inward, we seek to satisfy only our own personal wants, our expectations and our own presuppositions. We must be able to see and confess our weaknesses amongst ourselves as a church family. We must pray for wisdom and strength. We must be willing to address our weaknesses and take positive action to change direction wherever necessary. Let's pray. Father, please remind us that we are to be a Great Commission Christians serving in a Great Commission Church. Grant each one of us the desire and courage to go forward in the direction you want to lead this church, the direction you want to lead this church, not down the path that we think we might go. Lord, make clear to this church our purpose. Convict us of that purpose and empower us to live that purpose. Father, let us see this church with honesty and with open eyes. Help us to acknowledge any areas where we may have placed our own priorities ahead of doing your will. Lord, we do believe that all things are possible through you. And therefore, in your hands, we place the future of this congregation, the future of this church. Please give us wisdom, grace, guidance, and a unified desire to do your will. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.